Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims, a podcast where we share our experiences as first-generation American Muslims and where we aim to connect with other young Muslims to let them know that they are not alone in their struggles. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. So guys, this is our last episode before hopping into season two, and we're super excited. And as you guys may have noticed, it's been so long since we've actually sat down and recorded, but we said it on our social media and we just took a little break from recording to focus on this crazy year and everything that was going on in our personal lives. But we really appreciate all you guys' support and we are really excited for this new year.
Yeah, honestly, I really missed recording and just saying my thoughts into a microphone and sharing it with everyone. So yeah, we really appreciate those of you that checked in, but as we will talk about in this episode, we needed the break and mm-hmm. needed the time away. And hopefully not only is that a lesson to everyone, but also as we talk about it more in the episode, just it's okay to take breaks and it's okay to not be productive all the time and not do everything that you think you need to be doing consistently. Mm-hmm. If it means taking care of your own mental health and taking care of other things in your life that are important. So we kind of wanted to end this season by talking a little bit about what we have overcome this year, what we've learned, and what we want to take with us into the next year, and just kind of going over some lessons from this very crazy year.
And I guess we wanted to start off this episode by talking a little bit about what our 2020s looked like. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like this year obviously had a lot of changes. For me, there was a lot of moments of overthinking and just very concerned about the future. And also me, a lot of screen time, especially on TikTok, not being productive. And it made me feel really bad at moments. But these are some of the things that we'll talk about, what we learned from. And just a lot of confusion, anxiety, and just reflecting on life overall. And I think that towards the end of this year I started learning about new perspectives and just trying to change my mindset, not because I wanted to or that I was okay with what was happening this year, just because it was affecting my mental health to where I felt I was hitting a wall. So I thought it was important to just stop focusing on all the negative things and try to see the good things that were going on. And with that, there was a lot of support from family and friends and just a lot of love and being vulnerable with people, having making good memories, so many deep conversations this year, I feel like, and a little bit of inner peace towards the end of this year.
Yeah, and I feel like I also experienced a lot of those things, but I feel like for me, overall too, a lot of it was just personal reflection. Mm-hmm. That was honestly a big thing that happened for me this year was there were so many times when I sat down and just had to reflect and sit down and kind of think about what was important to me in my life. And I don't know if I'm really explaining that very clearly, but there was just a lot of reflection over this year. And also I think one thing looking back is that I was telling Grand earlier, I feel I wasn't that productive this year, mm-hmm. because January through March I was super productive, I had a lot going on, blah blah blah. But then obviously in March when COVID came and everything shut down, everyone just kind of had this lull in their productivity and in their life because we were adjusting to a massive global event. And after that, I think I just had a period where I had a really hard time getting into a routine and figuring out what was next for me, because I relied so much on structure and on the structure of the outside world. And because that wasn't there anymore, I had a really hard time being productive. And I feel going ahead and jumping into what I learned from that, one big thing I learned was that I tie so much of my self-worth to mm-hmm. my productivity and to superficial markers of success. And that's something that I'm not gonna lie and say that, oh, I overcame that and now I'm mm-hmm. And now I don't do that. But it's something that I definitely recognize a lot more as a really big problem in my life, is that I just have a really hard time feeling good about myself if I haven't been productive or if I haven't accomplish as much as people around me. And I feel honestly for me, one of the only ways to overcome this is to keep saying over and over again that your self-worth is not tied to your productivity, mm-hmm. and your self-worth is not tied to how much you've been accomplishing, and what's more important is your mental health and your own emotional well-being.
Yeah, and you know what, I feel we talked about this in one other episode that we released during the pandemic, but like you, I was on top of things up until March, like, I felt so good. And honestly, the thing is, like, I feel like we have this idea that we're the main character in our lives. So I feel like that really hit me. Because I was like, oh, like, this, I'm going to graduate this year. And then I'm going to have, like, a party. And I'm going to... And it's going to be so much fun and all this crap. And then, like, you know, things just started happening. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, my life is being ruined. And I was so upset for a really long time. And then, you know, like, being not productive. Like, it, like, went up until this semester. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to end this year. Like, whatever. I graduated. And then I was like, you know, college is a whole new chapter. Like, I'm going to be so productive on top of things. And then the first, like... maybe 4 weeks, I was, like, really good. I was on top of everything, and I was, like, ahead of the game. And then, after that, I was just, like, what's the point of this? Like, I feel like crap. I didn't even feel like I transitioned into college. It was just, like, I don't know. Like, I didn't feel a change, and I was so upset about it because everyone was, like, you know, college is the time of your life. You're gonna love it or whatever. Or you're gonna have a hard time the first semester. But, like, I didn't even get to experience that hard time that you have away from your family because I was literally... still in front of my family. I was more dependent on them than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad. And at the end, I was like, I really don't care, like, what happens this semester, you know, like, grades wise like, I want to be passing, but I'm not gonna put all these, like, high you know, goals on myself and, like, force myself to do it, because at a point I was, like, reaching a tip, even though it wasn't, like, a big deal or, like, you know, there's bigger things going on in the world or whatever. But to me, I felt like I was reaching a point where I was, like, burnt out, but also, like, I wasn't even doing anything to be burnt out about, and I wasn't even doing that well in classes anyway. So I was just, like, at the end, I was like, I just need to get through this semester for my, like, mental health. And I was, like, even telling Dawan when I was studying for finals, I was like, I'm not putting myself in, like, the toxic environment that I always do. And I'm like, you know, I have to get an A in this class or whatever. Like, at the end of it, I felt like it was just survival. So even until now, like, I haven't figured out the productivity aspect of this year and, like, how to do it. So now I'm just like, you know, next semester is a new year. Like, I'm going to do new things that year. But for now, I'm, like, done.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, I think all of that is so valid, and I experienced so much of that too. And I just think that, like, for me, one thing that was interesting was I saw how much I tied my own, like, how I viewed myself and how well I thought I was doing in life to how productive I was. And that was all relative to how other people were being productive. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, so right now I'm studying for my MCAT. Like, everyone in my life knows that this is happening because I complain about it all the time. But I'm studying for my MCAT, and, like, over the summer, like, I had a really hard time trying to get myself into the mindset of getting ready to study for my MCAT. Like, I would try and study, and I just was having a really hard time, and I was honestly so burned out. Like, I burned myself out so much in the first half of college, and even before that, like, I went into college feeling so burned out. Mm-hmm. And I remember I just, like, pushed myself, and I, like, kept putting aside my own well-being and my own mental health, saying, like, oh, like, once this semester is done, I'll be fine. Or, yeah, once I get this class over with, like, I'm going to take care of myself and I'll be fine. And I think that this summer, just, like, being forced to, like, sit at home showed me that, like, I got to a point where my body was, like, you literally need to just stop and slow down and take time to yourself. And when I saw other people around me, like, studying for their MCATs and I wasn't, or people preparing, like, parts of their med school application, and this applies to, I think, a lot of people, but in, like, whatever else is going on in your life, I just remember feeling so bad about myself and, like, almost, like, hating myself for not being as smart or as on top of it as other people, even mm-hmm. though there were so many things in my life that, like, made it hard for me to focus. Like, you know, the fact that, like, we existed in such, like, a weird year and there were so many random events, like, going on around the world that made it hard to focus, and that made it hard to sit down and open a book about a subject that wasn't even relevant to what's happening in your life at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know, I just think I saw so many people on social media, like, bragging about how productive they were this year, and especially now as we wrap up 2020, everyone's like, I did this and I did that, and in college, you know, at the end of every semester, people are like, I'm so excited to announce that, blah, 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 blah.
Like, I'm just like, bro, I don't care.
No shade to anyone who makes those posts, celebrate your successes, but yeah. When I see those posts, like, I think it's just important to remind yourself that everyone else is at a certain place in their life, and if you're not there, it's totally okay. And it's like, everyone's like, yeah, I know that, obviously, but you have to keep saying that to yourself over and over, otherwise you subconsciously do it. And I just think that was, like, a big thing that I learned, was that, like, to not compare myself to other people and not to tie my self-worth to my productivity and to the fact that I'm more productive than the people around me, or I've done more than the people around me. Yeah. So that was like a big thing that I learned.
And you know what? Like, everyone is going through their own crap, you know, but they're not posting it on like social media.
Exactly.
So you don't know what's going on. Like, there was this one in particular. She's kind of like an influencer, but not really. And I've been like following her for a really long time. And I'm like, bro, like, her life looks perfect. Like, nothing's going on. She had just gotten engaged and all this crap. And like, I was just like, it seems so fun. Like, I want that, you know? And then, like, yesterday she released a video of how hard this year has been on her and, like, how she had to change her career and, like, all this crap that was going on in her life. And she was like, I kept releasing vlogs and I kept having, like, this aesthetic on my social media and acting like I was so productive and I have it all figured out. But in reality, she was, like, at her lowest points. And so I feel like that's important for all of us to remember. Like, people are not showing their lowest points on social media. Unless you're on my close friends, then you know. But... like, I don't know, like, that's why kind of this year I've tried to, like, put social media aside, because I'm like, I really don't want to see what's going on in other people's life, because I'm, like, having a hard time with a bunch of crap, and they probably are too, but I don't want to see the highlight reel. Like, if I know you in person, like, I want to know about your life, but if I'm not really that close to you, I don't really care that you went to, like, Tupelo Honey or whatever. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
I think so, yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And I think that's, like, the second, like, really big kind of topic that we wanted to talk about is, like, what we learned this year is, like, just the influence of social media and, like, how important it is to take time away. Like, I deactivated my Instagram for, like, 4 months, I think. Like, 4 or 5 months, I don't remember. And it was honestly the best thing I've ever done. Like, at first, I remember having, like, withdrawals from it. And that's when I realized that I actually had a problem, because I realized how attached I was to just getting up every day and opening my phone and going on Instagram and then going on Facebook and then going on Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And when I deleted my Instagram, which is what I spent the most time on, at first it was hard, but then after that I felt so good, because I wasn't always, like Rend was saying, looking at the highlight reel of other people's lives. So I wasn't comparing myself to other people because I had no idea what was going on in other people's lives, yeah. You know?
I think that's, like, super important. And, like, Rowan was telling me about how much, like, it was a good break and whatever, but I literally have tried to push myself to delete social media so long. I don't want it to affect me, but at the same time, I don't want to delete it because I have this thing where I just have to check something, you know? So maybe that's something I need to work on for the new year. And honestly, like, we really did not want to make this episode, like, you know, like, last year we released an episode and I feel like it was good at that time because, you know, people weren't just, like, dealing with crap here and there, even though, like, you know, people obviously were, but not to the extent of this year, of, like, you know, what my goals are for this new year and whatever. This is just, like, really, like, I feel like a reality check of what was going on this year without having, like, these unrealistic goals that were about to be, like, oh yeah, like, I'm gonna build the second Empire State Building or something like that. Like, this is just something that we have to try to change our perspective in our, like, life to take into the new year to make it easier for us, because I feel like people are saying, like, you know, 2020 was not a year that we're prepared for, but now we're prepared for the years to come, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that everyone's saying 2020 sucked because we all went through, like, the whole world literally had a shared common sucky experience, which is kind of cool if you think about it. Like, now you have something to relate to anyone that you meet around the world. Not a great context, but I think that, I mean, every year everyone has, like, hardships and stuff that they go through. I think this year it was just that people talked about it a lot more. Like, people were more willing to be honest. And I hope that's something that we've been able to do through this podcast and that we can do, not just in this episode, but in the future too, is just, like, being honest and real. But I do honestly think that, like, social media really, like, made me feel really crappy about myself before. And getting rid of it for a while was really helpful for me. And then even getting it back now, I, like, hate the way it makes me feel. So deactivation is coming soon. But I think that was another, like, really big lesson, is just kind of seeing the impact of, like, social media, and then more broadly of just comparing your life to that of people around you.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, we've talked about how, like, a lot of people say 2020 sucks, and, you know, I've said it multiple times this year. Every time I see it, I'm like, this year sucks, I hate it, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like we've learned a lot from it. But one thing I've learned from this year is to ask for help and to be grateful for everything that's going on in your life. Even if you're not grateful for it in that moment, I feel like we had a lot of, like, basic things in our life that we were just like, oh yeah, this is basic. Like, having water is basic, having electricity is basic, our health, that's just something that we're guaranteed or whatever, but we're really not guaranteed it. And I think for me, like, some things that I was super grateful for this year is just, like, having real people around me. And I feel like I was able to get rid of the fluff, you know? Like, you don't need a lot of people to live, but at the same time, I'm not a believer of you don't need anyone to live.
Right.
And so I think having, like, a good support system is really important. And I feel like it took me a really long time to realize that, because, like, I feel like I've always had trust issues with, like, making friends, and I'm really bad at making friends because I really need to trust you, like, fully.
Mm-hmm.
But I got COVID this year, like, in July, okay? And the people that, like, and I was quarantined for, like, 31 days, and I was so upset. Like, it just got so lonely, and it wasn't about,
yeah.
It wasn't about, like, no, you should laugh at one. I know, laugh at my misery, please. But it wasn't about, like, I was feeling crap because of having COVID, you know? It was, like, I was in my room the whole time, and then I gave COVID to my parent, like, my mom and my brother, and, like, I was concerned that I would give it to my dad because, like, he has an underlying condition, and it was, like, feeling guilty, but at the same time not knowing what would happen next. And then you see the news, and they're, like, we don't know the long-term effects of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Rowan over here had sent me this thing about how it causes, like, brain damage, like, a week. No, actually, the day that she sent it to me, I had had COVID, but I didn't know. So I was, like, thinking about that. I was, like, oh, my God, like, I'm going to die. And then you see, no, it's okay to win. And then you see, like, all the people come out, and they're, like, yeah, I am deaf now in one ear, and
yeah,
I can't,
like,
see.
Yeah, like, they have all these
and,
after effects.
Yeah, and it was just, like, terrible. And then, like, the people that, you know, called you every day, like, Shahad and Rowan would, like, call me every single day and, like, FaceTime me for a while just so that I, like, wouldn't get lonely or whatever. And, like, they check up on you, and, like, also, like, my other friends did too. Like, they check up on you, they care about you. But then there's, like, some people that just took it as, like, a time to gossip. Like, oh my God, like, this person has COVID, like, as if you have AIDS or something, you know? And I feel like that was really important for me this year, because I don't want to have to, like, you know, waste time with people if they're not going to be there for you when you're going through a hard time. I mean, even though, like, it wasn't, you know, people had COVID way worse and stuff like that, but I feel like for me that was a changing point or whatever, where I, like, pivoted who I wanted to focus on and who, like, the real people in my life were and stuff like that. Because even though, like, as I said, it wasn't, like, a huge deal or whatever, but I feel like it was still a hard time for me, and, like, I don't know, I just don't like to think about it, you know?
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. And, like, I mean, I think this is something that we will both, and I'm sure everyone has relearned, like, every single year of their life or in every season of their life, is that quality is so much more important than quantity.
Definitely.
In terms of the people in your life. Like, I am also, like, Ren, like, I have a really hard time trusting people, and, like, I'm generally, I think, like, relatively, like, open with people
yeah.
around me, but, like, there's an extent and there's a limit to which I'll be open with people around me, and
mm-hmm.
then there's, like, very, very few people in my life who actually know, like, how I'm feeling and what's going on. Like, I could probably count on one hand.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, like, a really valuable thing. Like, I think
uh-huh.
before, I used to be like, oh, like, I don't have as many friends, people around me or whatever. And, like, I might know a lot of people, or, like, we might have a lot of acquaintances, and we might be like, oh, I know her and I know her.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, like, having those, like, few quality people around you is important. And I think also, like, being honest with people, like, around you, like, you know, if you want help from someone, like, ask, you know?
Yeah.
And if someone is a real person in your life, then they're gonna help you, or they're gonna understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
Like, the real people in your life will always understand when you need to step back, or when
yeah.
you need to take a break from something, or
mm-hmm.
when anything else happens, they're going to be understanding. Even if you're not directly asking them for help, at least they're going to be able to provide that empathy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was able, like, I was very fortunate to see that in people in my life this year.
Yeah.
Is that, like, they were always kind of understanding of where I was. And I think in that same vein, also one thing I learned is, like, you don't owe people around you anything.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, over the summer, I was working on this, like campaign or whatever at my school, because we were advocating for the renaming of this building at our school that is named after this really racist guy. And it was kind of, like, in the midst of the, you know, heart of the Black Lives Matter movement that happened this summer, so there was a lot of momentum happening. And at that time, I remember the group of people that I was working with, we were really, really overwhelmed with the amount of work that we had to do, and we got a lot of emails and a lot of messages every day from people with ideas and suggestions and stuff like that. And I was super overwhelmed with, like, the amount of work. Like, I would spend all day working on this, and I got so many messages from people and so many random emails. And I remember there was someone that emailed me, like during it, and I didn't know who he was, and it was fine because I was getting a lot of emails from random people, but he wanted to basically argue with me about why I felt that, you know, the petition that we had created to rename this building that was named after this racist person was actually going to do anything, or that it was going to have an impact. And I remember reading the email, and I was already so frustrated because I was just very stressed out by, like, all the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling one of my friends who was working on the campaign with me, and I was like, see, look at this email. Like, I'm so annoyed. Like, why would someone take the time to send an email like that? And I felt like I had to respond to him and justify why I was doing something. And she said something to me that I feel like, you know, sometimes someone says something to you, and to them, it's just like, oh, I just said that.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a really big impact on you. That's, like, what that was. Like, she was like, listen. She was like, Rowan, you don't owe anyone anything. You don't have to respond to him. And I feel like that was a mindset that, honestly, like, from June until now, like, when it happened, I've just carried that with me so much. Like, whether it be for emails or text messages or phone calls or hanging out with people, like, especially as women and especially in Arab culture,
yeah,
there's this idea that, you know, you have to be overly nice and overly whatever with people around you. And obviously, I think as Muslims, like, we aim to show kindness to everyone around us and all that stuff. But there's also a limit. Like, have those boundaries for yourself. And we're releasing an episode on boundaries soon, so stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
But have those boundaries for yourself and understand that you don't owe any people around you anything. Like,
yeah,
you need to do what's best for you, not for anyone else. So if you need to take a break from someone, that's okay. If you need to cut someone out of your life to focus on you or what's important to you, then that's okay too. If you don't want to respond to someone's text or someone's email, and this is huge for me too, like, I really struggle with this, it's okay. Like, you don't have to respond. You don't owe the people around you anything, and you should always prioritize what makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, ultimately, I didn't respond to him because, like, he wanted me to justify something that was very important to me, that I know intrinsically is right and is what I believe in. So I don't owe him that I have to sit around and, like, justify it to him. Anyway, that was a long-winded way of saying do what's best for you.
Yeah.
And not what you think is going to make other people happy, or not what you other people expect of you.
And I think that's really important, because especially if you're doing something for yourself and it's, like, your priority at that time, or, like, you're not able to, let's say, message someone back or email someone back or whatever, if they're actually supportive of you and if they care about you and those are the people that you want in your life, they'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, like, I used to get so frustrated when people didn't answer their messages, okay, but, like, now I understand it, you know, because now I'm just like, someone will text me and I get a pit in my stomach because I'm like, I really don't want to text you back right now, you know.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm just chilling, you know, like, I don't want to. And, like, I've learned it from the best, Rowan over here, that, you know what, like, sometimes you just need to, but, like, for a reason, you know, like, sometimes you just need to get whatever you're doing right now done and not interrupt what you're doing to answer that person, because at the end of the day, like, they'll still be there after you finish your task, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And even if you're sitting on the couch chilling, doing absolutely nothing,
mm-hmm,
and someone calls you or texts you and you don't feel like answering, or you just don't have the mental capacity to answer, like, that's okay too.
Yeah.
Again, like, you shouldn't be doing what you think is going to make other people happy, or talking to someone to make someone, to make them feel happy, or responding,
yeah,
or whatever. Like, you have to do what's best for you, and it's not selfish to prioritize,
exactly,
yourself. I think especially, like, in Arab culture, like, I've noticed that prioritizing yourself is viewed as selfish, especially,
yeah,
for women, because,
yeah,
like, I know, like, growing up, like, my mom, like, gave up her career to stay at home and to raise us, and, you know, obviously, like, we're all so grateful to her for doing that, because, like, that's a huge sacrifice, and,
mm-hmm,
like, she worked really hard to, like, have her career, so, we're, like, super grateful to her for doing that. But I think in Arab culture, like, a common narrative that I hear is that when a woman doesn't choose to stay at home to raise her kids, and she chooses to have a career and to raise her kids, or chooses to have a career and have kids later, or whatever, people call her, like, selfish,
yeah,
and they say that she's a bad mom, or, like, she's a bad parent for, like, getting a babysitter or whatever. Like, that's a super common,
yeah,
narrative,
yeah,
is that, like, you suck as a mom if you do that. And I think that having, like, seeing that growing up, like, in many ways it's internalized, even when we don't realize it, and it can show up in other parts of our life, like, in what we just talked about, like, responding to people or giving back to the people around you. So
yeah.
It's not selfish to prioritize yourself and to prioritize your goals and what's important to you.
Because, like we said, because the people around you, if they care for you, they'll understand.
Exactly.
And also, like, this is not, like, it's kind of related, but, like, even when you're talking to someone and you just want to end the phone call, you know, like, sometimes it's really hard.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, now the people that I talk to, like, it's really easy to end the phone call because I'm like, you know, pass by, like, I'll talk to you later, you
yeah.
know? Like, it's that easy, but I just think this year was really good in letting go of the things that aren't that important to you.
I think at the end of the day, it just goes back to saying, like, your life has a finite amount of space in it, and you have a finite amount of energy and brain space to give to the people and things around you. And it is, you are in control of what you give your energy to. So if you don't want to give your energy to someone who's giving you unsolicited advice or being rude to you or is impacting your life negatively, then don't.
Yeah. And also, I feel like this year I was also, like, very thankful for health. Like, I just think it's super important to just, like, take care of ourselves and stuff like that, because
yeah.
before COVID, I always thought, like, if I ever got, like, I would see someone that got sick, and to make myself feel better, I'd be like, well, if I ever got sick like that, my body's strong, like, I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And multiple times this year, I got sick, and, like, it was to the point where, you know, like, you're sleeping, but, like, you're trying to get up, and then you're going back to sleep, and it's just, like, so weird, and you're not in control of it. And it just taught me, like, we really need to, like, say alhamdulillah for our health and all that, because, like, we're not promised it, especially because there was, like, so many people that died this year, alayhirhamhum, but, like, I don't know, I feel like we should be more aware and just, like, know that we aren't promised the next day, and that Allah is giving this to us as a blessing. And I saw this thing, and it was like, if you hadn't said alhamdulillah for everything yesterday, what would you wake up for? What would you wake up to? Like, what are the things that you've said alhamdulillah for? And I was like, I would wake up with absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I know. And I think all, like, being grateful is obviously so important, and not just in the way that, like, on Instagram, you know, there's a cute, like, graphic that some influencer posts, and she's like, be grateful with, like, the stars or whatever. Like, genuinely inside, knowing that no matter how bad your situation in life gets, or whatever is happening in your life right now that seems like the worst thing ever. And by the way, when we say stuff on the podcast, guys, we're, like, saying them
to ourselves.
Like, I know sometimes it might sound like we're projecting onto other people, but we're saying it to ourselves. Like, everything is obviously a reminder to ourselves first, because
yeah.
we honestly are the ones that need to hear it.
Because we'll write it down, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like,
yeah.
what is
like
wrong
with
you?
Like, we say it in, like, third person, but we really mean it about ourselves in first person. So when we say, like, we all need to be, we really mean it about ourselves.
Yeah.
But we just hope that you guys will relate to what we're saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think just, like, being genuinely grateful and knowing that no matter what's happening in your life right now or how bad it might seem, like, one thing I really need to work on more, I'm honestly not going to lie and say that I learned it this year, because
uh-huh.
I think I still suck at this, is just, like, saying alhamdulillah in the moment. And also, like, I'm just so grateful for, like, being Muslim.
Yeah, me too.
Like, on our podcast, I know we talk a lot about, like, life as a Muslim, and we talk about how it can be hard, and it's hard because I think there's a lot of challenges that come from the external world, but being Muslim in and of itself is, like, you know, it's a perfect religion, it's sent from God, and, like, I'm just so grateful for being Muslim. Like, there
yeah.
are so many times this year when I was so stuck, and I was like, I have no idea what to do. Like, I'm in a situation, I don't know what choice to make, or I'm in a situation and I feel, like, absolute, like, crap about myself,
yeah.
and I feel like there's no way out of it, and blah, blah. And there has always been, like, an answer in Islam for me. Like,
yeah.
there's always been, like, some hadith or reminder that, like, God is in control. And I think ultimately just, like, knowing that everything that happens in your life happens because God planned it that way, and that even though it seems random and it seems like, oh, you know, this thing happened and I didn't mean for it to happen that way, it's like, no, all of this is intentional, all of this is written. Like, that in and of itself gives me so much comfort, knowing that even if I'm mad at myself for not being productive this year or whatever, like, God wrote for me that everything that happened to me this year happened, everything that didn't happen for a reason.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, like, aside from being grateful, I just think one thing that I became even more grateful for this year was just being Muslim and having that as always kind of, like, a figurative, like, trampoline to, like, fall back on. Like, I feel like I, you know, I'm like, no matter, like, how bad it gets, like, I'm never gonna, like, fall to, like, nothingness, because I can always fall back on, like, knowing that, like, God has a plan for everything.
And, like, I feel like at the end of the day, Allah reveals it to us, like, this is why I did this. Like, I have a story for you guys. So, on Thanksgiving Day, me and my dad, the day before, we had gone to Walmart, and then we came back, and it was in my car. So, my car does this crazy thing where if you lock it and you try to open it, it starts screaming because it's not the right key for it. So, anyway, we didn't lock the car because it's our house. Like, why would I lock my car? And so, smart people named Rand had her laptop, all our podcast equipment, this, like, camera from the, like, office that I work at, and all these expensive things in my car, donation money, like, a bunch of stuff that's not supposed to be in my car, like, $80 that was in my, like, wallet that's not even mine, like, all this stuff. So, that night, oh, and then the garage opener also was in my car. So, that night we went in, like, we were all sleeping, like, we were so tired that day. I had met Owen that day, and I was telling her, like, bro, I cannot walk two more steps. Like, I'm so tired. So, anyway, we, like, came back, and we were sleeping, and all of us in the house are light sleepers, okay? So, then the next day, we woke up, and it was Thanksgiving Day. Like, our aunt was coming over, and we were just, like, getting things ready. So, I needed to make a video or something on my laptop, so I went to the car to get it, and I just, like, walked to my car, and it's a mess. Like, it's a mess, and I was like, I did not leave my car like this. So I start freaking out, because I'm like, someone stole my laptop, and then, you know, like, guys, I'm so dumb, mashallah alayhi, but, like, I walked out, and the guy had also robbed my dad's car that's supposed to be in the garage, and I didn't even know that the car was missing. But I was, like, the whole day, I was just like, why us? Like, why? Like, this is not supposed to happen. Like, why? The whole day. Okay, so then, like, 3 days ago, this man gets caught. Like, we got all our stuff back, alhamdulillah. That's why we couldn't release one time, because the episode,
yeah, the one was, like, got stolen.
Yeah, guys. The one was, like, then send me an episode, and I was, like, bro, I'm not getting up right now, because I'm super tired. I'll send it to you in the morning, and then in the morning, the computer was gone. But, like, yeah, we got everything back, but I was being such a loser that whole day, and I was, like, you know, I had the worst luck. Like, obviously, this would happen to me. Like, why not? Blah, blah, blah. And then the guy got caught 3 days ago, so I was looking at his charges, and one of the charge was unlawful possession of firearms. So I was like, Allah made us all sleep like we were dead, and like we were all light sleepers. We didn't hear anything. Like, he opened the garage, turned on Baba's car, hit my mom's car, and all this stuff. Like, none of us heard anything. We didn't wake up just because, like, he probably protected us from something that could have happened worse, you know? Like, at the end of the day, I was like, you know, alhamdulillah, that happened. Like, I was just thinking about it the other day. Like, I don't know, like, everything really does happen for a reason, even though I still feel like getting robbed was uncalled for, but, like, it happened for a reason. Like, I feel like it made me, you know, like, really understand when people say, like, you know, Allah is the best of planners, and everything happens for a reason, and, like, sometimes when something bad happens, like, Allah protected you from something bigger. Like, I really learned that during that time.
Yeah, no, for sure, and that's a huge lesson, and, like, in so many situations in life, I know, like, in that moment, and obviously this is, like, not right, like, I'm trying to work on this, and yeah. I need to be better at it, but I'm like, why is this happening, and, like, why is it happening to me, like, I'm like, I didn't do anything, blah, blah, but then I think that also shows that, like, for some reason, we as humans, again, we're talking about ourselves,
yeah.
feel entitled to having a perfect life. Like, I know that I always, like, I always feel, like, so entitled to, like, everything in my life going exactly perfectly the way I want it. Like, I always feel like, oh, like, of course, like, this should be easy for me to do this really hard thing, and it should yeah. be easy for me to have, like, good things in life. Like, I feel entitled to that for some reason. I guess it's just, like, innate human arrogance. Yeah. So when something wrong or something bad does happen, I'm like, why me? But then later, like Rand was saying, like, I always realize that I learned something from it. Even yeah. if I didn't see, like, why it was necessary in the moment, obviously Allah has that knowledge, but I learned something from it and, like, grew as a person.
Also, I feel like this year I've learned to be less uptight and just kind of go with the flow. And I've had such a hard time with that because mm-hmm. I plan my day out by 30-minute increments because I live 30 minutes away from everything. So I give myself 30 minutes to get ready and then 30 minutes to drive there. And if I'm 1 minute late, usually I freak out. Or if my dad is parked behind me, mm-hmm. I used to throw a fit. Like, me and my dad would get in a huge argument because I'm like, Baba, I'm going to be late, blah, blah, blah. And it wouldn't be to something that's, like, you know, life or death. It would be like going to meet my friends or something. Yeah. You know, like, they're always late anyway. So I don't understand why I had to, like, be there on time. So now I just kind of go with the flow. I see my dad's car behind me. I'm like, Bubba, you're parked behind me. You know, like, I'm chill and all this stuff. Like, it's not only with things like that, but even with school this year, I was, like, so much more calm because I used to, like, get sick over a test or whatever from stressing out so much. And, like, my, I don't know, like, I would just get so tightened up in, like, my back and stuff like that, which I was like, I'm not doing this to myself this year. Like, this year, I got so anxious. I had to, like, talk to a therapist for a couple of months, and it really couldn't have come at a better time. Like, I feel 2020 was the year for that, because I learned that I shouldn't ask for help before I feel like I'm gonna hit into a wall. And I had hit into a wall multiple times before I went to her, just because I was kind of embarrassed to go to her, because I was like, you know, my family members are gonna think I'm cuckoo for going. And it was just, like, so helpful, because even though, like, it's not about the medications or anything like that, it was just, like, talk therapy that was super helpful, because she gives you coping skills. Like, honestly, it's, I don't know, it's just so weird, because you think that they're going to tell you this profound thing, or, like, they're going to give you some secret to how to live your life and not be so anxious all the time, but they just, like, repeat things back to you, and they make you think about what you want in your life and why you're feeling this way and stuff like that, and you answer all your questions by yourself. And sometimes, like, you need someone to just, like, talk to without the judgment, and not like you're gonna get judged from your friends or whatever. It's just because your friends and family care about you so much, they're gonna project on you sometimes, and, like, she doesn't know you, so she's just gonna tell you what, like, not what you want to hear. She's gonna tell you, tell it up to you straight. Yeah, like, I know I was freaking about finals, and I was talking to her about it, and she's like, Ren, you literally just got robbed, like, and you could have, like, died or something, you know. And she's like, you don't know if that person was good or bad, like, he could have just opened the door and come in, and, like, you got through that and you didn't freak out. Like, she was like, did you freak out or anything? Did you, were you feeling anxious? I was like, no, like, I just cried because my laptop was gone, but that was it, you know. And I just really think that 2020 was the year for that. Like, I don't know, it was just, like, very good to me. Not 2020, everything else.
Yeah, I think, honestly, like, to just kind of reflect on everything we've said in this episode, is it all goes back to, like, our mindset about things. Like, we talked a lot about your mindset and about having those boundaries for yourself and having boundaries for everything in your life, and, you know, learning how to, like, compartmentalize, like, your emotions and your thoughts and how you react to certain situations. And I think, like, overall this year, we just experience so many challenges in terms of, like, our emotions and our mindset about things, and it's something that we will continue to experience for the rest of our lives. But ultimately, like, I know this year was, like, really challenging for a lot of people, so it's obviously a privilege for me to say that I think there were a lot of blessings in it. Like, I come from a very privileged place to be able to say that, because a lot of people genuinely struggled and had really bad outcomes. But I think that in many ways, like, there's a lot that we learned this year, and, like, a lot that I want to carry with me into next year, especially, like, that I know next year and every year after that is just going to keep getting harder. Like, your life progressively gets harder, but I think as you get older, you find more ways to cope with things, and you don't, you know, freak out over, like, every minor inconvenience in your life, and you have, like, the skills, like Rand was saying earlier, like, 2020 is giving us, like, the skills and, like, the ability to react to future hardships, you know. Not that this is the only hard year that anyone's ever had, or that it's only going to be the only hard year there ever will be, but it gave us a lot of skills, and for that, I think, ultimately, I'm very grateful for this year, but ready for it to end.
Also, like, one more thing, guys, so, on the lighter side, some things about 2022 is that I hate Zoom, online school sucks, but it has some pros. And guys, I really miss wearing lipstick, because before this all happened, I bought so many lipsticks, and then I didn't wear any of them. So yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, also, you guys want to know something weird? Is, like, I started working at this new place in the past few months, and I don't know what my coworkers look like. Like, the other day, I saw my coworker take off her mask to drink something, and she looks so different than how I think she looks, because I only see the top half of her face. She looks completely different. So I don't know what a lot of people in my life look like, so I am excited to see what they look like next year.
Right, inshallah. That's so important. But can we just, like, go back to one more thing? Like, just about how, like, Allah plans very well. So I was very excited to go live on campus and, like, be a part of Clemson and whatever, but, like, you know, I ended up living at home. But, like, it gives you an opportunity to do things in your, like, hometown that you wouldn't have done before. Like, I was able to, like, go to the dental office that I was interning at last year and just, like, go more days than I would have if I was, like, you know, staying at Clemson. So that was a pro. I mean, like, that was the highlight of my year.
Yeah, a lot of good things happened, alhamdulillah. But we hope that you all related to stuff that we said. Again, obviously, this was all reminders and reflections on our own experiences, regardless of what state of person we said it in, like, third person or whatever. But it was all reflections on our own experiences, but we just share it with you guys because we really enjoy, like sharing stuff with you guys and being able to talk about what we've learned, and we hope that you all found it helpful or were able to relate to some of it. And we hope that everyone has a very safe and healthy and good end to their year.
Yeah, and also, guys, one more thing, because of course I can't just end it. I saw this thing on TikTok. If you guys want to do this before like the end of the year, you just write everything you're letting go of this year and you smash it on the floor, but put it in a Ziploc bag so you don't make a mess for your mom and then get yelled at. But like, I just feel like that's a really good way to end the year and just like let go of all the things that you want to leave in this year and move on with your life. I just think it's really cool.
But yeah, so we hope that you guys learned something and that you guys related to what we said. And we hope to hear from you guys on our social media as well for feedback on what you learned from this year.
And we just want to say that that's all we have for you guys today. And we hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
So remember to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Real Talk Real Muslims. Share and discuss this episode with your friends and family. And give us any feedback about this episode or tell us what you learned about or reflected on from 2020 by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, DMing us on social media, or emailing us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for ya.
Bye!